It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
And degenerate.
All right, here we go.
A new conversation on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM at 1160 AM.
I want to make it clear right off the bat that most Uber rides go off without a problem. And that this particular story has a very, very personal connection to me. And we're going to get to that in just a moment. But there have been thousands of rides that there were problems documented. Uber last week, and it's been hailed as a good move for towards transparency. The company releasing data that says 3,000 people were reportedly sexually assaulted last year taking an Uber ride. Now, that number includes 235 reports of rape. And that's according to Uber itself, the company releasing that comprehensive public safety report, vowing to release future reports as well. But here's where this gets personal for me, Dave. It's heartbreaking. Last week, one of my high school friends posted to Facebook that she'd become yet another victim. Her name's Stephanie Johnson. We are the class of 1985. We went to high school together in Arizona. She drives for Uber as a side hustle. We've talked about driving for Uber as a side hustle. A lot of people do it here in Utah. And then she says last week, she was sexually assaulted by a male rider.
A heartbreaking story. I mean, this is terrible. I want to know more about it. Is Uber doing anything about it? Can they do anything to improve safety? Because I think she has some ideas that I want to listen to, because so many of us have either driven Uber or we take it, our kids take Uber. Can kids take Uber? I can't remember. There's like an age thing that goes on there.
Our teenagers are taking Uber. And we always want to remind our listeners as we go through this conversation with Stephanie. We've got her live on the line. We're going to get to our conversation in just a few seconds. Our Utah Community Credit Union KSL text line is always open, 57500. Text us. Have you had experiences? Do you have concerns with rideshare? I also want to make clear that we've reached out to Uber to get more information as well. I'm wondering, Andrew Hall, our producer, have we heard back from Uber yet? We are still waiting for a response from them. We reached out to them first thing this morning. Stephanie also tells me that she's filed a report with the Phoenix Police Department. Let me set the scene before we get to Steph. It was late one night last week, Dave. She was picking up a man in the Phoenix area. And we both grew up there, as I said, and she still lives there. She runs a pet care business full time, and the side she drives for Uber just for some extra money. And the reason that she's driving on the side for Uber for some extra money is because she raises money for an Alzheimer's home. She uses that money to help pay for the dog food and the vaccinations for all the pets that are with the Alzheimer's patients. So she's doing this out of the goodness of her heart. She had a feeling when she pulled up for that ride last week. She just had a gut feeling something was off. But before she could drive off, the male passenger had jumped inside her car. And then she figures out right away that he's drunk. He's drunk. And Steph, you're on the line with us now. Good morning, my friend.
Hey, good morning, Deb.
So you heard me lay out kind of how this whole situation started for you. Pick up the story from there. You know, you're driving along with this man in your car.
Right. And he jumped in my car before I had a chance to even think straight, honestly. I just had a feeling before I even saw this guy. I just had a bad feeling. I just knew it. Something was not right. But he came around the front of my car and was in the back seat before I had a chance to blink. And I thought, oh God, here we go. I'm balls out, got to do it. And it was a 14-minute ride. And I thought, here we go. I just had a bad feeling.
And so what happens? At what point were you assaulted on that ride? I mean, what builds up to that circumstance where he reaches around the front of the seat, the front seat?
Right. I'm not kidding when I say this. It couldn't have been more than 2 minutes, really. He told me he didn't like country music. That's what I was playing. That's what I do. And I was like, all right. You know, I've never had anybody, you know, tell me that before. So I said to him, he was mumbling, couldn't understand much, but I got that point. So I told him, not a problem. I'll turn off the radio. Well, he told me he wanted me to turn my phone off completely, the app, everything, because he knew where he was going. He knew his destination. He'd tell me where to go. And that was not going to happen, not in my vehicle. No way. And so I knew we were going to have problems. And right then is when I started thinking to myself, what do I have around me to protect myself? And all I could think of is my flashlight, which my flashlight, 5 years ago, I purchased it for my dog business. So I can, you know, hone off coyotes when I'm here in Arizona and I'm walking dogs.
Yeah, the coyotes are a thing. When we go out on runs or walks, they're still around even parts of the streets of Phoenix.
You got it, sister. So that's why I had it. And thank goodness I had it. They're not allowed. Any kind of weapon is not allowed in your vehicle as an Uber driver, which really stinks, and that needs to change. But thank goodness that I had it, because it turns out that, you know, the flip side of my flashlight is a stun gun, and that's what really saved me.
So you, at this point, you push the button to dial 911, because he has now reached around and grabbed an area on you that he shouldn't be touching.
He grabbed my right breast. Let's just put it out there. He grabbed my right breast, and he was hanging on. And let me tell you something, I still have the bruise marks on my chest because of it. That's how hard he grabbed me. It really hurt.
So you jump out of the car and run around, but you've also, in the meantime, you've called 911.
Well, when he grabbed my breast, I hit him with my elbow. I went back and I nailed him in the face with my elbow, unsnatched, you know, my car seat, you know, my whatever.
Your seatbelt.
The strap.
Yeah.
Yeah, seatbelt, and I hit the 911 button. At the same time, I had my stun gun in my hand, so I went back and hit him in the head with it. So I got some blood out of him on that one, so that frightened him a little bit, but not too much because he was that drunk. And that's when I jumped out, went around to the other side, and opened up the door. 911, which did nothing for me, I have now found out, and they don't know where you're at when you push the button, so I'm not really sure why we even have that on the app, because it does nothing for you.
It can't sense your location. It can't detect where your location was.
No,
you were somewhere in Phoenix,
and
you didn't realize where you were because you were going through this trauma at this time.
Right. And I was, I was fortunate enough to see that I was on 7th Street. That's about it. But the cross street on there, no way. I was in a dark place. There were no other vehicles around. Nobody was around. It was me and this drunk man in my back seat. That was about it. And 911 couldn't do a damn thing.
Okay, stay on the line with us, Stephanie. We're going to come back in just a moment because you have determined that there's more that needs to be done to protect you as a driver and passengers who are riding and ride shares. I mean, we take these services almost every day. There's, you know, 1.3 billion across the country, Uber rides last year alone. Let's keep Stephanie on the line, Dave, and get to her solutions and also find out what happened to this guy that she says was drunk in their back seat and sexually assaulted her.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dujanovic.
We've been talking about a very important story for our safety, our family's safety, our friend's safety, and it's very personal to me because my friend from high school, we graduated class of 1985 in Arizona, out of Arizona, Stephanie Johnson, posted on Facebook that she was recently assaulted while she was driving for Uber. And she'd been an Uber driver for about a year. She does it as a side hustle because she's had a pet care business for almost 20 years in Phoenix. And we were just hearing the unsettling details about what was happening to her a week ago, very, very kind of early wee hours of the morning. What was your initial reaction, Dave?
Yes, I was listening to her tell her story. And you know, I'm Mr. Side Hustle. Any way you can earn a little extra cash, I am all for it. But this was really sobering for me because I never think about these things, Debbie. I never think about my personal safety. I go through every single day just doopadoo.
Because you're
no big deal. Yeah, I don't have that worry. And so to hear of this story and how vulnerable she felt and how assaulted, and even though she defended herself and fought every step of the way, just to think about that vulnerability is scary.
Let's bring Steph back into the conversation. Stephanie Johnson calling us from Arizona. I know you were on our sister station, KTAR Radio, down in Phoenix, talking about this week as well. Thank you so much for being on our show, my friend. I really appreciate you discussing this, because I think this is such an important issue for not only drivers, but also passengers. And so many of us here in Utah, as happens across the country, are taking more and more Ubers and Lyfts. When we finished up the conversation just a few minutes ago, I asked you if you got the individual who you said was drunk, had grabbed your chest, you still have bruising from that, you finally got him out of the car. Now, Steph, between you and me, you know, you and I can have this conversation offline. I know what probably really went down out there, but this is radio. We're broadcasting live. Keep it clean. Keep it clean as you're walking us through how you got this guy out of the car. How'd you get him out of the car, Steph?
I went around to the other side, whipped open the door, and I put my stun gun on him about three to four times, and he fell out like a baby crying.
And at that point, how did you make sure he was no longer going to remain a threat to you?
Well, the stun gun is really loud, and when you just push the button itself, it's pretty scary. He already knew how it felt, obviously, and I just kept pushing it, to let him know I have no problem hitting you again. So he jumped up, grabbed his bag, and he ran across 7th Street and got away.
So what did you do next? Did you just jump in your car and leave? Did you wait for the police show up?
Well, I jumped in my car. I was crying. I mean, I was shaking like a leaf, and I was crying. I couldn't even believe this just happened. It went down so fast. And I jumped in my car, locked the doors, and the 911 lady was still on the phone. She was still on the line, but she still had no idea where I was at, what was going on. I mean, it was over the intercom in my car, so she couldn't hear anything that was going on once I got out of my vehicle. So 911 does absolutely nothing, and as far as I'm concerned, there needs to be a tracking device other than 911 if that does not work, and it does not.
Because when we're on our cell phones, a lot of our listeners, they may or may not know this, Steph, is it sometimes they can't really triangulate exactly where you're at, and so you need to give them an address or at least a vicinity that you're in. And I know when you're going through this, it's almost impossible to remember what day it is, let alone where you're at. You go home, you call police, you call the Phoenix Police Department, you report it to Uber as well. Have you heard back from Uber yet?
Oh, that's really interesting, actually, Deb, because yesterday after I talked to KPAR, Alfonso, whoever he is, called me from Uber yesterday afternoon, tells me that the only reason why he's calling me is just to get back, because it was on his desk, apparently, the information. I said, you're not calling me because I was on the radio yesterday? Oh, no, he knows nothing about it. Yeah, right.
So you were expecting Uber to be much more responsive, because this has been about a week since this incident happened to you, according to, you know, your Facebook post and what you've been saying. It's been about a week.
Oh, yeah. It was a week yesterday, actually. And that's the first time I've heard back from them, other than them giving me they sent me some little stupid memo that is so generic, I can't even tell you. I mean, it made me so angry when I got it. And there's no number to call back, nothing. This guy called me yesterday and tells me he has no idea that I was on KTAR yesterday. Well, I think that's a bunch of BS, keeping it, you know, friendly here. And then when I asked him what's going on with it, the only information that this dude could give me is the fact that, yes, he's been banned from Uber and he no longer is able to drive. Well, first of all, that's just great and dandy. But what about the Lyft drivers that are out there and taxi drivers as well? And I want to know, was he able to get an Uber driver after me? God bless him. If somebody else picked him up, because I dropped his butt off in an area that was 10 minutes away from where his destination was. So who picked him up from there?
Stephanie, let me ask you this. Well, in the couple minutes we have left, you have come up with some, I think, some excellent ideas of how safety can be improved for not only drivers, but also passengers on Uber. One of that includes an in-car camera, so everybody can see what's going on at all times.
Absolutely. I think that the cameras, you know, I understand that people will start to drive for Uber and maybe, or Lyft, whatever, and maybe quit. But after you've been doing it for at least a couple of months, say give it 3 months or whatever, and you can see the pattern that somebody is consistently doing this, there should be a camera that is set in the car. This is good for the business, for the drivers, for the passengers, everybody, all three, number one. Two is that, yeah, if 911 doesn't work, and it doesn't, there needs to be some kind of tracking device that Uber and or Lyft has so that when you push a button, a certain button, they can see exactly where you're at because they know where you're at when you're driving. So I'll be darned if they're not going to have some kind of a way very easily, if you hit some kind of a button where you're at, an emergency button where they can go and make the police know where you're at. That should be another. Thirdly, is that there should be a complimentary self-defense class that every person, man or woman, especially women, but man or woman should be able to go to free of charge. And I don't care if you're a passenger or a driver. Driver, I'm one, so I will tell you, but I'm also a passenger. That should be a given, to be able to go in there and not pay a dime, go in and learn how to do it without weapons, because apparently we're not supposed to have any.
So, well, that was one of the things, Steph, that kind of stood out to me. And as you were talking about training, when I heard you got out and then you went back in to kind of rip him out or to shock him, my thought was, don't go back in. You got out. Leave. Do you look at it and think, you know what, maybe I shouldn't have gone back in?
No, because first of all, you know, my car is bought and paid for in the back because I knew I had my taser on me and he wasn't going to do Mr. Lymph Node in the back seat, wasn't going to do a whole lot at that point. So no, I knew if I shocked him and I needed to pull him out so I could get back in my vehicle as I was in an area where nobody was at and it wasn't a good area that they had, you know, elected to bring me to. So I knew I needed to get out of that area anyway.
Well,
so
Steph,
no,
we're so glad that you made it out safe. Oh, we're sorry that it happened to you. Thanks for sharing your story with us.
Dave, I learned so much just in talking to Stephanie. My daughter used to drive for Uber. She's entertained the idea of driving for Uber again. I love the idea of training. If Uber isn't going to offer it or Lyft isn't going to offer it, I'm going to make sure we get it for her, for, you know, as her parents, make sure she goes through some sort of self-defense class so she knows what to do. And I think there's a lot to the point that Stephanie made. What about cameras inside these cars?
Yeah,
not only for passenger safety, but for driver safety.
Yeah, you know, I endorse the camera. I love cameras. I love cameras in school buses, in Uber. It just keeps everybody a little bit more honest. So, Stephanie, thank you for sharing your story. So sorry that happened to you. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.